Morning, Face a Nation. Coming up this weekend on Channel 4, Margaret Brennan is the host of that, and she had a chance to de-stress the last week or so. Margaret, it looked like you had a beautiful trip to one of the prettiest parts of the world.
Oh, we absolutely did. We spent 10 days in Italy, my husband, my son, and I. And honestly, it was just such a great treat, not only to be there, but just to spend time with them.
Wait a minute. You took the little guy to Italy on an overseas flight? How did that go?
Yeah, 7.5 months old, and he went overseas. He did really, really well, actually. We were lucky. Bouncing back from jet lag is okay when you're that young.
Were you nervous a little bit as to how the baby...
Oh, totally. Totally. And I was also afraid of being that person on the plane with a screaming child, but he slept.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it wasn't quite as de-stressing on the flight over, but well, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's really, really fun. That's beautiful down there, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. They really have mastered the way to live life in Italy, I have to say. You know, taking a break from Washington in this news cycle is necessary for everyone these days.
I hate to bring you back to reality, but here we go. spoiler alert, here we go with what's happening. But let's talk about Joe Biden, because that's really the buzz right now this weekend. Yeah. I'm not sure what you do on the TV show on Sunday, because I know that's always floating with all of the things that happen between now and then. But, boy, this is kind of getting headlines right now, and I want to get your thoughts and reactions on it so far.
Right. Well, finally, you know, the widely anticipated decision by the former vice president to jump in. He's acted on it. He made it official. And now the question is, what does this do to the chessboard, to the crowded space of Democratic candidates? Does it change fundraising? Do those big donors who've been waiting to see who a front runner is finally come off the sidelines and help build war chests that could help some of these Democrats run the race a little bit longer? Does Joe Biden's presence in the race change the conversation more towards a sort of traditional, historically traditional Democratic platform instead of going more progressive as some of these other candidates have been pulling the party? Or does this in some way, you know, has it already been digested? Does the fact that the former vice president has such a long history in Washington make him seem not new and exciting enough? Does experience in some way hurt him? Or does his resonance in the middle of the country with working class voters help him win back those who tried out President Trump in 2016 but aren't necessarily dedicated Republicans? Maybe they'd come back to the party. That's why he is so interesting.
Boy, there is one issue that you know that is going to be a problem here right out of the gate. We're already hearing about it this morning for some of the Democratic primary voters, and that will be his role as chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, as you know, during the Clarence Thomas Supreme Court confirmation hearings back in 91, and, of course, Anita Hill.
That's right, and I know you covered that in depth, and Anita Hill's personal experience giving that testimony, which at the time, if people remember the Judge Kavanaugh hearing just from a few months ago, this was that level of sort of national conversation and angst. And the fact that the vice president picked up the phone finally after almost 30 years and apologized for Anita Hill as to how that hearing played out, she says that apology sort of too little, too late, and it wasn't much of an apology, suggesting that it wasn't heartfelt, instead more politically expedient to now in this political environment, in this cultural environment, to say, you know, we could have handled your personal testimony of the sexual harassment that you say you experienced in a better way, in a way that didn't, as she has suggested, re-victimize her. And this is something, along with some other past voting issues, that could hurt the vice president. When you have experience and a record, you have something for your opponents to pick apart.
Barack Obama did not endorse his former vice president. Is that kind of like when George Bush, the last time before Barack Obama, he didn't, I don't recall him endorsing anybody either. He may have, I don't remember it, but in this case, Barack right. Obama didn't. I want to get your reaction to that.
Right. Well, the vice president or the former vice president says that this was at his own request, that Barack Obama did not endorse him, instead trying to sort of lift the Democratic Party to be still sort of a Democratic Party leader and let all these candidates run the race themselves. But of course, people do remember what happened in 2016 when Biden was debating whether or not to jump in again, sort of wrestling with the idea for a while, and a number of Obama aides, including the president himself, instead decided to put their weight behind Hillary Clinton instead happened to coincide with some difficult time in the vice president's life where he said for personal reasons it wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to run that race at that time. But we know behind the scenes there was also that question of whether the Obama coalition would sort of stay in place and push Biden forward. It didn't happen in 2016, and in 2020, it's not clear whether he can count on that coalition this time around either. You have Barack Obama saying picking Joe Biden as his running mate was one of his best decisions ever, but it's not clear that he thinks that at this time he might be the best leader. We'll have to see. You know, it is still early in the race, we should say, and Obama could give an endorsement when we're closer to 2020.
Margaret, do you know what you're going to have on the show yet for Sunday?
Well, you know, we're talking a lot about the Democrats trying to compete with each other and run to challenge President Trump. We're going to speak to the man running the Trump reelection campaign, and that's Brad Parscale. Really interesting guy who many would say revolutionized the digital element of campaigning back in 2016. Now he's running the whole show. He spoke to us about how the Trump campaign is reaching out to its supporters. It's really fascinating. It's through text messages. It's through email targeting. It's all sort of individually modified messages and direct communications. It's a new way of campaigning, and they say this is how President Trump is going to win re-election in 2020.
Now, before you go, just down the street, about five blocks from here, just about your time you were leaving for Italy, and I know you had a chance to see your alma mater win the national championship, Margaret. So in your honor, I want you to listen to this. There you go, your Cavaliers fight song.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
Hey, welcome back. Have a great weekend. Good to have you on again this morning. Thank you.
Thanks. Good talking to you.
She's Margaret Brennan here on WCCO. Our news coming up with Steve next here on WCCO's Morning Show.